Welcome to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Waukegan, Illinois is located roughly 40 miles north of Chicago on a gentle curve of Lake Michigan. Now, it used to be a majority white area, but today, over 50% of the residents are Latinos. It's the kind of Rust Belt town that can't help but be in Chicago's shadow. And indeed, the local politics there are tinged with the rough-and-tumble style of the big city. Waukegan politicians are unafraid to take a fight head-on, literally.
Boxing out of the blue corner, he is the mayor of Waukegan, Illinois. Here is Reid Motley.
This is a boxing match that happened back in May of 2016. And yes, the man boxing out of the blue corner is actual Waukegan Mayor Wayne Motley. At the time, he was about to be up for re-election, and it wasn't looking so good, both in the ring and outside of it. This was pretty unusual for Waukegan and for Motley. He's charismatic and has worked for the city since 1975. It was sort of expected that this election was just another one in the bag for him. Turns out, this year was different. For decades, Waukegan's economy has been driven by a coal-fired power plant on its lakeshore. Now, some residents want to shut that down. And for about a year, reporter Kevin Stark has been following a group of environmentalists there who have turned energy into a top campaign issue. President Trump's recent decision to withdraw from the International Environmental Agreement, known as the Paris Accord, has put climate change on a global stage. But in Waukegan, it's very much a local issue, and one with a lot at stake for its Latino residents. On today's show, what to do when life throws you surprises, when you're looking down the road and you hit an unexpected roadblock and you need to recalculate your route. We'll hear from a woman with a rare genetic syndrome who went viral after being called the world's ugliest woman and then used that experience to take on cyberbullying. And we speak to a Dominican-American comedian from the Bronx who accidentally turned his blog into a TV career. But first, back to Waukegan, Illinois, and to the local election that put the issue of climate change into the town's political ring. Reporter Kevin Stark picks up the story.
I'm at a real, legit boxing match. It's a charity event, but nobody's holding any punches. Three local Waukegan environmental activists, Julio Guzman, David Villalobos, and Celeste Flores, invited me. And Wayne Motley, the mayor, is about to step into the ring. Julio is in a kind of fascinated haze.
Wayne Motley is going to box an investment banker, and that pretty much sold it, so we're here. Can't wait to see what happens.
I'm a little surprised. The mayor is in blue shorts and a tank top. He has tattoos on his arms and a guard in his mouth. His cheeks are all puffed up. It's not a four-show kind of match. The mayor keeps knocking his opponent against the ropes. At some point, I start to get a little worried. The mayor's going to hurt this guy. He's hitting him so hard. He knocks the investment banker to the ground.
Wow!
It's not quite a knockout, but Motley dominated. The referee raises his hand in victory. Afterwards, I grab Motley for a sec.
So maybe just start, what was your strategy?
Three or four jabs and then my power right. And as you can see, I mean, you were there. I put him down twice in the second round.
How would you compare your political fights to the fight in the ring?
Well, in the ring, you see your opponent and you know what he's doing all the time. In politics, you never know what's going on behind the scenes. And it's pretty dirty. It's nasty. In boxing, there are rules and you have to follow the rules. In politics, there are no rules.
Over the following months, I would come to know this as typical in Waukegan, a roughneck brand of politics that had existed in the city for decades. Mayor Motley is running in a tight re-election race against a challenger in the Democratic primary who has the backing of the establishment, a little bit like Hillary, and also against a candidate with tons of widespread grassroots supports, a little bit like Bernie. Her name is Lisa May. She also boasts the backing of a coalition of environmental groups, including the Sierra Club. She calls the Waukegan brand of politics the Waukegan Way.
The Waukegan Way we were talking about. So it's like the Chicago wannabes, you know, political power. We're so powerful. Everyone has their own fiefdom. Everyone's trying to be the king of the hill.
May is an independent, and Motley, besides being a well-known local icon, is also facing a primary challenge from Alderman Sam Cunningham, the Hillary in the primary race. And right away, the race gets heated. During the primaries, Cunningham accused Motley of being dishonest with the voters. During a town hall, a moderator mentioned rumors that city workers had been strong-arming Latino businesses into putting up Motley for mayor signs. Cunningham responded immediately.
That's old-school politics. That's roughneck politics. That's not how you lead a city.
Motley fired back, telling a local paper that he's changed the city drastically, for the better. But still, Cunningham's attacks stuck. And in an upset, Mayor Wayne Motley lost the Waukegan February primary. Now, on to the unexpected main event, Cunningham versus May. But before I get into why that even matters, there are a few things you should know about Waukegan. Back in the 1970s, high concentrations of cancer-causing chemicals were found in the Waukegan Harbor. They were a result of decades of industrial waste running into the lake. And in those days, Waukegan was called the worst PCB mess in the country. Turns out a company called Outboard Marine was spilling millions of pounds of toxic chemicals into the lake. So the EPA went after them, and Outboard Marine shut down. Soon, officials found pollution from other companies, a landfill, an asbestos processing facility, and the city was quickly ensnared in several cleanups that took decades. And so, as the plants shut down, their workers, many of them white, left town. And Latinos came in, many from small towns in Mexico, Honduras, to work the new service jobs that were popping up. Landscaping, housekeeping. Eventually, they wanted homes, and realtors were selling. By 1990, 16,000 Latinos lived in Waukegan. That's a quarter of the population. By the 2000 census, nearly 40,000 Latinos lived here, 44% of the city. And as that number continued to climb, many ended up settling near the Waukegan waterfront.
So we have Washington Street, which is probably one of the most successful corridors of Waukegan.
I'm here with David Villalobos. He's on the city council. He's an alderman, which is what city officials are called in Waukegan. He's also one of the people who took me to the boxing match you heard earlier. One thing to know about David, though, he's not a typical politician, especially by Waukegan standards. He won his first election on $20. He's also a third-generation American, second-generation Waukeganite. His family's from Mexico. We're driving around his district, Waukegan's 4th Ward.
Washington Street actually is kind of like our downtown Waukegan for the Hispanic community. You got a small Mexican grocery store there, a couple of Mexican restaurants. There's a couple of quinceañera stores there, which again cater to the Hispanic community.
And in this area, filled with new immigrants and Latino Waukeganites, sits a giant red brick building with towering windows. It's been here for so long that it's almost like it's part of Waukegan's topography.
I had no idea, and this is coming from someone who's grown up here in Waukegan.
That's Julio Guzman, also from the boxing match at the beginning. Julio just graduated from college. He's 23. His first job was for a local environmental association. But even so, it took a random local environmental activist for Julio to notice the coal plant that had been in his town for nearly 90 years.
And it was also then that he pointed behind him. That's when I saw the coal plant.
So you grew up in Waukegan but didn't know that there was a coal facility.
I've frequented the lake plenty of times. I just never questioned what that site was. Quite frankly, I thought it might have been vacant.
Julio is part of a generation of Waukeganites that has gotten to see and live the other side of the town's glorious industrial past. He and David are both central figures in a group called Clean Power Lake County, a local environmental group. It's supported by the Sierra Club. For years, the Sierra Club has been boosting local organizations to try and close coal-fired power plants or get them to switch to clean energy. This campaign is called Beyond Coal.
It's not like we get coal from here. Coal has to be brought in by train to Waukegan, and it's destroying, you know, the nature that we have.
That's Celeste Flores, another organizer with Clean Power Lake County. She says it's been hard to convince Waukeganites that coal needs to go. And in part, it's because people don't pay attention to it. People are more focused on the day-to-day, rent, work, family. And politics there has been more about corruption and immigration. Three-quarters of residents living around the plant are people of color, and many say the emissions cause asthma. A third of local kids show signs of asthma, and coal plants are linked to increased risk of cancer and cardiac disease. The plant did receive some attention in 2012 when the NAACP called the Waukegan plant one of the worst environmental justice offenders in the country. And yet, generally, in the 90 years since it was built, the plant was a non-issue for many. Until now.
The coal plant's been around for years. Only because we've done something for so many years doesn't mean it's the right way to do it. And there's so much right now with the opportunity of solar bringing clean jobs to Waukegan that would just be a tremendous help. I think people just don't want to take the time to listen to what our full message is. A lot of people just stop when they hear that we're trying to close down the coal plant.
But not everyone agrees. Julie Contreras runs the local League of United Latin American Citizens, or LULAC, of Lake County. And she says, not so fast. She says the plant employs many Latinos, invests money in the community, and doesn't think environmental groups like the Sierra Club are committed to Waukegan in the long term. She grew up in the Pilsen neighborhood of Chicago, and they faced a similar issue there.
They removed a plant that lost jobs, and they utilized statistics about air quality. Well, if you go into Pilsen today, it's the exact same air quality. What are we really going after?
Julie's point that the coal plant issue is complicated is not wrong. The plant does employ many Waukeganites, about 100 people, many of them Latinos. Sure, people want clean air for their kids, but the plant also donates to many school programs, and it's the third largest taxpayer in the town. So many Latinos feel conflicted about the plant. And although the majority of Waukeganites support a transition plan, a.k.a. going from coal to cleaner energy, if the plant doesn't want to switch to another source of energy, something Clean Power Lake County has proposed, or if it shuts down, where will the jobs and programs go? The coal plant also donates to a lot of community groups, including LULAC of Lake County, a.k.a. Julie's organization, and it just donated $3 million to install a solar farm for the Waukegan School District, the very same school district that Celeste, David, and Julio live in. But despite the complications, for David, Celeste, and Julio, the plant has to change, or go. The question for them became, who will be the better ally in discussion with the company? And so Celeste, Julio, and David took all of their person power and put it behind Lisa May. They see her as their best chance, and what's more, they think they can get a win.
Coming up on Latino USA, will Celeste, David, and Julio's plans succeed?
There's going to be a high volume of folks that came out and voted and decided who their next mayor is.
Stay with us. No te vayas. Welcome back to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. When we left off, reporter Kevin Stark was following Celeste Flores, David Villalobos, and Julio Guzman, three local activists from Waukegan, Illinois, who were trying to influence a local election to move their town from coal power to clean energy. Here's Kevin Stark with the rest of the story.
In truth, residents in Waukegan will admit that energy has never been a big issue for the town until now. Thanks to Celeste and crew.
No one's given it much thought. Till they organize, no one talked about it. Most of us never thought about it. Clean Power Lake County awakened this giant, and God bless them, right?
That's Lisa May. I catch her at a campaign event. She just gave a rousing speech and seems energized. She sips a tall beer, and we talk. I ask her what needs to happen with the coal plant.
It needs to stop burning coal.
But how come?
Because it's dirty, it's stunting our growth, it's holding us back, it's unfair. It's part of old Waukegan, and it's time for new Waukegan.
She says she's bringing clean energy jobs to Waukegan. She says the Future Energy Jobs Bill will be a big help. That's what Celeste and others went to the Capitol to lobby for. It includes incentives for low-income communities to build renewable technology.
We are the poster child for this bill.
But still, why Waukegan?
Because we have a dirty coal plant that we've been saddled with.
She says saddled with because the Waukegan plant was bought by a company called NRG that's actually known for converting coal plants to natural gas. In Illinois, they've done this a number of times. But when they got to the Waukegan plant, rather than converting it, they made upgrades. They spent over $100 million on equipment to monitor and control emissions, like mercury, nitrogen oxide, sulfur dioxide. They made the plant up to code, but it didn't move Waukegan out of coal. and according to Lisa, into the future.
NRG's converting plants all over to gas. They're the leader in green energy, but Joaquin continues to get coal. We have a big immigration population here. So many of our residents live below median income. We need jobs. We need opportunity. That's why we're the poster child.
For the first weeks of the campaign, things were relatively normal. And as the candidates gathered for a town hall at a local high school, they both sounded like they agreed on the coal plant. Here's Sam Cunningham.
The president who bought NRG specifically said that coal is on stage 4 cancer. What does that mean? They're leaving.
Then, the debate on March 22nd became a turning point in the campaign. But not because of the people in Celeste David and Julio's neighborhood, their health, Waukeganite jobs on the line, or anything else that was said during the town hall. When residents walked out to their cars, they found slipped under their windshield wipers flyers that said, "Who really is Lisa May?" The flyers described her as being unemployed. Soon other flyers started circulating around Waukegan calling her a pro-Trump conservative and saying she supports all sorts of conservative policies like cutting the Meals on Wheels program. She responded with some blistering blog posts on her website about how Cunningham is bought and sold by the casino lobby, how he wants to turn the downtown into an entertainment destination. And with Election Day on the horizon, David Villalobos, frustrated with the negative turn, spoke out against the tactics on the city council floor.
My mailbox has been inundated with the negative campaign going on. Alderman Cunningham and Alderman May are colleagues, too. So to build a divisive campaign, in my mind, builds a gap between them. And I'm sure they're going to work together to bridge that gap. I believe something that I've seen over the past week is a wedge between us as residents, too.
As Election Day nears, Celeste and Julio are knocking on doors and phone banking nearly every day. When April 4th finally arrives, the team feels strong.
You know, I think the voters have been distracted by some antics that have been going on here in Waukegan.
Meanwhile, Sam Cunningham is feeling positive. It will be a close race.
We're feeling very good about our plan. And we think we've done everything that we're supposed to do to inform, educate, about the issues that exist in Waukegan, with the direction we want to go in Waukegan, and now it's in the hands of the voters.
That night, Celeste invites me to Lisa May's campaign party. It's at a reception hall in the Bonnybrook Golf Course. There are trays of food and a bar. Everybody seems excited and nervous.
All sorts of emotion. I'm really excited because it seems like a lot of people did early voting and vote by mail. So it seems like the community really is involved and active, something that I don't think we've seen a lot in the past. So I think, you know, there was some discouragement with the primary. The numbers were pretty low, but I think there's going to be a high volume of folks that came out and voted and decided who their next mayor is.
It's getting late, but the race hasn't been called. Early returns show a dead heat. Celeste keeps checking the time.
Yeah. You checked your phone. It's 8:45 right now.
Yeah, it's 8:45.
And we were supposed to know at 8:30?
Well, that's when we knew with the national in November. We knew by 8:30, at least the congressman's. But at 8:30, we were already celebrating Congressman Brad.
So maybe they're double counting votes right now?
Yeah, I guess they're still counting votes.
Julio's wearing a suit and talking to a few people. He looks slick, but he's the first one to say he's a ball of nerves.
Yeah, so I'm anxious, I think. I've been feeling that since I woke up today. I had to take a Tums from, like, all the, I don't know, I feel like I was getting heartburn from how anxious I was getting. It was really taking a toll on me.
Then, at around 9 o'clock, the local newspaper runs a story that the election is too close to call. May seems nervous. She's greeting supporters, and she keeps saying, "It isn't over yet." And then a little after 10 p.m., the race is finally called. The May camp sees the finish line. And as they're crowding around their phones, they see it. Lisa May lost. She concedes. After the election is called, everything happens quickly. Julio gives an emotional speech. He says the campaign was about building a more equitable future. Celeste and David listen intently as Lisa May tells the crowd that this is only the beginning. They all believe that despite losing, they made a difference. In the following weeks, I wanted to know, had all that work, all that lobbying and political pressure, had it really had an impact on the energy company? So I called them. I spoke with David Geyer. He's a spokesman for the company. And he said, well, of course it had an impact. All of the rallies, the letters, the press. The company felt more pressure to close this coal plant than most. But when it comes to actually closing it...
With respect to the Waukegan plant, like I said, we're in the business of running power plants, so we know what's economic. If the Waukegan plant was not economic, we would close it. It is economic, and in fact, both units are running today, and the plant is needed for reliability. We know this from the grid operator. In general, the statement that coal plants are on the way out is true over the long term. But for many years to come, coal plants will still be needed in this country. We get about 31 or 32% of our nation's electricity from coal. So the idea that you could just turn off coal plants across the nation is simply not realistic.
I ask him if it's possible that the plant could transition into some form of renewable energy.
Well, it's not. You can't transition a steam boiler powered by coal to wind or solar. Wind or solar are different technologies. Solar requires the installation of solar panels and the creation of the infrastructure and the integration to support that. Wind requires the building of elevated wind turbines, which also require a lot of land. Both kinds of technologies require a lot of land. They require easements. They require permits. It's just different technologies. It's like comparing a car to a shoe. They're two different things. So I heard this phrase used, transition the plant to renewables. Renewables are different technologies. So the idea of transition is simply not an idea based in reality.
Just to be clear, Clean Power Lake County is pushing for a long-term retirement plan, which ideally means no more coal and the development of clean energy jobs. But it might be more likely that coal is replaced with natural gas. NRG is doing that across the state. Guyer says NRG looked at doing that to the Waukegan plant. It didn't pencil out, for now, but maybe in the future. And Clean Power Lake County maintains that a transition plan is the only way forward. For Sam Cunningham's first city council meeting as mayor, they packed the house. They challenged him on the coal plant, told him that it's hurting his residents, they mentioned the asthma, the cardiac arrest, and he committed to organizing a committee to consider the plant's future. Right now, David is one of the only Latinos on the Waukegan City Council. But now that more than half of the city's population is Latino, it's not hard to envision a future where that changes. Or one where Julio or Celeste make a run, practicing a different brand of politics, driven by their wants to change how Waukegan does energy, their own Waukegan way.
Thanks to reporter Kevin Stark. This story was reported in collaboration with Pacific Standard. You can read more about it on their website, psmag.com.